There's one thing about it. Every time things starts getting tough in my life, something just keeps rising up on the inside of me and says, don't bow, son. Don't bow. Don't give in. Don't listen to it. Satan told me to divorce Teresa one time. What kind of idiot does he think I am? Now, she does make you want to divorce her sometimes. Not that sweet little thing. Well, I'm going to send her home with you. You can find a different grace. You know, I kind of like the old-timey Timex. You know, when they used to advertise them, they'd say they just take a licking and keep on ticking. Hallelujah. I thought about this back yonder in the war, back yonder in Vietnam and all that, you know, and they started adding a little Coke to Coca-Cola. They really did. They got them addicted to it. But them boys wouldn't quit. Now, them boys could stay up and alert for days. They put Coke in their Coca-Cola. Well, how many knows, you know, and they later on they said Coca-Cola the real thing. You know, that's pretty much their slogan. Coca-Cola, the real thing. You know, I was in a battle in my mind back yonder in the 90s. Hadn't been saved very long and trying to serve Jesus and trying to not fight anymore and trying to have works worthy of what I'd repented of. You know, and I mean, all the emotions were still there. And so I'm having a battle of all of this. Is this kingdom real? Is this Jesus stuff real? I didn't have a lot of examples in front of me, not downing anybody, but I just didn't. I seen people go to church, and I seen them, you know, then when they run into somebody's car, they wouldn't fix it. Well, you know, forgive, brother. And, you know, and they would borrow money from brothers in the church and never pay them back and just, you know, and those kind of things. And I thought, well, this Christianity, Lord, I got to know. And you know what the Lord, he spoke to me? He said, see, he said, just like they said Coca-Cola, the real thing, he said, you've got a hold to the real Jesus. And then I started realizing this is why I'm wondering about all this, Lord. You know, because I'm not going to serve a God that can't deliver me in times of trouble. I can do that myself and go to jail for a lot of stuff. I'm going to serve, if this God of the Bible, and thank God I went to a church that believed in, they knew him. There was people in there, this one woman, she would proclaim that Jesus was her lover. And I thought, man, this woman's weird. You know, because I'd come out, a lover's, you know, how you think when you're in the world, a lover. And so I'm trying to wrap my head around this woman. I'm thinking, I love her. And she was just like she was holding somebody in church, you know. And I mean, she just, you know, and she would say, he's a lover. He's my lover. You know, and I'd go home and I would think, this woman is weird. Jesus can't be your lover. That's ridiculous. But, you know, she knew Jesus more than just salvation. She knew him as her comforter. She knew him as her healer. She knew him as her peace when her husband died. She knew him intimately. She knew she really had a hold of the real thing. Hallelujah. And you know, the Bible, Paul says, I'm apprehended. I can't quote that scripture. Yes. See, Jesus apprehended Paul. Paul didn't choose Jesus. Jesus chose Paul. Me and you are not, we're just not statistics in this earth. We was handpicked by the Lord. I don't care how you got on the planet. The Bible says that he knew me before I was born, Mac. That's why I thought, why, if he is such a God that loves people like this church bunch says he is, that can't fornicate no more, that can't commit adultery no more, they can't go smoke pot no more, they can't do cocaine no more. You know, if this is God that they can't do anything anymore, why would he put me through hell on earth and then that I die and go to hell, they say. If he's such a good God. That was my thinking back before I got saved. Because I had a pretty good time, son. I partied on the weekend, cocaine, ecstasy, man. I mean acid. Woo! I had some good acid. Once it melted, don't get you in the car and leave. You don't need to leave. You can take trips and don't leave your living room. And then ain't some of this weird garbage killing them they got now where they want to go scrub the wall with a toothbrush and think that government's looking through the light bulbs. They've got a hold of some satanic stuff. I had some good stuff. I mean, I smoked weed laced with cocaine, you know, and fell out the floor in a few minutes. Just smile. Sandy back there was at her house, laced with cocaine. I just bow. And she said, "You okay?" I'm tripping. I'm good. So I get born again. Or thinking about it, you know. Well, see, I didn't realize, everything in my life up to the point to where I was at 20, whatever I was, 27 years old, I had never experienced a good life, really. And so all the things that I wanted in my life, they were far out. But you know what? When the only thing that I loved was fixing to be took away, was gone, and all of the partying, all of that stuff, you know, had brought me and shattered my life by the decisions that I made. And then I said, Jesus, I said, Lord, if you are really real, like them Christians, I was talking about Christians, say you are, then help me. Because I'm fixing to commit suicide. I done it one time. I done took a whole bottle of pills, you know, and was driving and run off the road down there in Oneonta, passed out, run off the road, and my sister just happened to go by and get me to the hospital, and they pumped my stomach, and there was just enough in it. If it had been any more in my system, I would not have made it. And so this time I'm thinking they're not going to find me. I'm not leaving nobody. People that's coming, a guy told me one time, he said, I'm going to leave a suicide note. I said, you ain't serious. Just go ahead. I'll find you a gun. You just do it now. I'll tell them you was going to leave one. I said, you know, you don't need a suicide note so somebody gets to you before you do it, man. You ain't really going to do it. If you're going to do it, do it. Well, I mean, I don't really want to. I said, see there? I said, you got to get saved. Well, I got born again, praise God. But, you know, I didn't go to no altar and everything. I was bowed before a God that was waiting on me all the time to come to him and to bow myself to him and to give my life to him so he could bring me to where I am today. And it is only going to get better. Your life is only going to get better. If he'd have told me, you know, then, now, son, it's going to be hell fighting for me. I'd have said, nope, I don't want none of that junk. I want this easy Jesus they've been telling me about. I want this, you ain't got no troubles at all. They was all lying, Mac. Just get saved. You won't have no trouble. That's the first thing I did, started having trouble. I've been having trouble now for 20-something years. Y'all are quiet. I got a hold to the real thing. This church ain't got no false anointing. This church has an anointing from God. You have an anointing from God. Now, the anointing destroys yokes and everything. But, you know, kind of like a guy told me, he said, well, you just get saved, you know, and Jesus will just do everything. I said, no, I find in there where Jesus said, I got a cross to bear, to take up my cross and follow him. to take up my cross. There's things that I have to bear. And it's the bearing of the living of the Lord Jesus in this flesh that kills this flesh. But that the glory of God might be revealed in this flesh. The life of Jesus is manifest in this flesh. What that means is you're more like him every time you say, God, I'm going to tithe. You know, I mean, Teresa, she did that to me yesterday. We tell these stories, you know. These are real life stories. Because I'm standing there. Now, I mean, she could have said, really, before I got out, I'm going to have my hands full. And if you don't mind, get those boxes out of the back seat, you know, if you don't care to. I mean, wouldn't that be easy? Would that not be easy, Johnny? We're pulled up at the house. Honey, now I'm going to get all this out. And if you don't care, I've got stuff in the back seat, you know. And I'll unlock the door and just get your bottle and everything else you're getting out of my truck. She tells me that to start with. And then, you know. But she said, hey, you going to help me? I'm like, well, she need help with it. So I walked around there. And then.
It's in the back. Get step in the back. It's in the back.
So I'm standing there and I'm like, is she having a seizure or? Well, you ain't explained to me what you want me to do yet. My mind ain't in the back floorboard with all that stuff. My mind's in the house. So, you know, I thought, you know, she don't really need a key. I'll throw her through it. My God, I'll just pick her up and throw her through there. You know, I thought, nah, get rid of them thoughts. That's the devil. You just can't. Now, used to, you would respond to that kind of way. Used to, you'd respond the wrong way. But now we have a new nature, right? We have a new nature. And that nature is the life of Jesus. And it don't mean, listen, that Satan is always running from me. Now, every now and then he comes up and tries something through somebody. But he's always at his guard when he's around you. And I tell him about this church and you. You know, you might not know it, but I've been fasting for you. You hear me? I've been laying down the food for my church, my ministry, and y'all, I love you, and my nation, and my country, hallelujah, and my godly, God-given rights. See, because I realize I don't wrestle against these Democrats or them Republicans. Whether they cowards, whether they not, I don't know. Not going to judge them. I don't wrestle against that. I don't wrestle against CNN and a bunch of these liars, the news media and all that. Let them ban it. I'm better off not even hearing the weather. Just get up and see what it is and build a fire if you need it. What's, you know, I'm just saying that as a scenario. My compass is the Word. My compass is the Lord. My compass is truth, hallelujah. And the Bible says that I shall know the truth, and the truth would make me free. Now, it didn't say I'll know the truth and I won't have any trouble. It didn't say that Satan won't come against me. It didn't say that I'm going to have to make tough financial decisions. I told Teresa, we were sitting on the couch yesterday, and we went through times when we didn't have enough to pay all of our bills, and we tithed to the church. We understand the struggles. You know, we understand the struggles of doing truth, of you know, of the challenges that truth puts on this flesh man at times, hallelujah, to love your enemy when you want to shoot them. My semi-friend that I prayed for and meant it with all of my heart this morning used to be my worst enemy, I thought. But I had a greater enemy, and his name was Satan. Satan tried to get me through thoughts against a person to go to prison or get shot. But his plans didn't even work when I was lost. because God was doing everything that it could do in mine and your life to keep us from prison and death and jail and destruction. So I lifted up that semi-friend because I don't know him very well. I've talked to him several times over the last 20 years. I believe in God. I mean it with everything in me. God, touch him. Touch him. He's got a 21-year-old daughter. Besides that, it's not God's will that he's taken out by sickness and disease in this planet. You say, well, you know, I don't care about all of that. I'm not into all that debate. I'm into the truth. The truth is, by Jesus' stripes, he was healed. The truth is, Curtis was healed. Your papa was healed. Or is that who it was? In here, Monty. I mean, he got the... I'm just being funny now. I love y'all guys, man. I'm telling you, I wouldn't choose to be serving with nobody else on the planet that I could think of. Praise team, just church family. Y'all were just awesome. Y'all rock. Y'all make serving God better for me. Y'all really do. I mean that. I know that might not make... There's nothing else on the planet much that I want other than to see God's people succeed. To see God's people get the promises of God and their lives fulfilled and to move on into the good things. And here Monty is. He thinks we can't hear him out here, you know, when he's going to talk a while ago. So he goes over there, the shortest microphone we got on the stage, and he bends it down and put. I looked at him and I started to tell him, Monty, you ought to pull it on down. He's short, ain't he? Me and him, two shortest people in this church. And he has, I'm only 5'6", and he has to look up to me. I'm messing with you, Monty. Hallelujah. Us short-legged people can usually outrun y'all tall-legged. Told Travis one time, I said, listen, you've got long arms. Daddy's got short arms. I can build up muscle in just a few minutes where it takes you weeks. I told somebody the other day, I said, you know, it's talking about being short. I said, well, you know, I've always thought, because I'm kind of a small guy, that dynamite comes in small packages. I said, so we're dynamite. Praise God. But you know what, praise God? I mean, listen, Sandy prophesied it, that joy and laughter is going to come to God's people. I'm not a funny guy. But they, sometimes I feel funny when I'm up here, you know. That's an anointing. Because I'm a very serious guy. Teresa's more serious than I am. I tell her, you're funny, and it gets on her nerves because she's serious. But she's funny, Mac, because she's so serious. I mean, you're so serious, you're funny. You make me and Travis laugh, man. You know? Told her one time, I said, WD-40 couldn't loosen you up. He needs more than WD-40. That's some of the best stuff on the planet to loosen up stuff that's tight, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. She got to have me. She's got to have me, Mac, to make her life a little brighter. Yeah. I pull up at the house. If it's close to 12, I go and I look through the window. I can see straight in there to where her recliner is. And if she's not moving, I just get back in my truck and go to see my cows. Don't disturb the sleeping beauty. She's beautiful while she's sleeping, but don't disturb her.
Are you serious right now? You just have to come in.
See, she thinks I'm getting thoughts from the devil to get there at that time. Woo, hallelujah. I have a blast around my house. Hallelujah. And you need to, too. What are we so tired about, man? If Jesus is our Lord and faith is our substance, is the evidence of the things that we, if it's substance, if it's the title to what I'm believing God for, then there's no need in me getting all upset and uptight about the light bill and the car payments and all of this stuff and jobs not working out and all of that. Hallelujah. It's, you know, all I got to do is say, I don't have any trouble. I've got faith in God. Hallelujah. He works all things together for my good. See, don't just hear a good sermon here and say, well, you don't understand my problems. They're deeper than what you're. Don't get it. Let Satan get you in that arena of dumbness. The Bible says many are the affliction of the righteous. It says, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. Now, you know, when God was, it's amazing to me that I can keep $2,000 or $3,000 in my wallet. You know, just sit on it for a week, three, four, and don't buy cars and don't buy boats. And, dude, I used to just, you know. But you know what I did? When I used to couldn't control and God knew God wanted me to be a good steward because I read the Bible. Who knows the Bible is a good thing to read? And it don't always agree with you. Now I'm just telling you. If you want the Bible that always agrees with you, you're going to have to get the satanic Bible. Do as thou will. Do anything you want. You're going to have to get it. But if you want the victory Bible, you got to get God's anointed word. You see, God started dealing with me when I didn't have no money to steward over. I mean, right in the middle of 3 months behind on my house and all, God says, save some money. And I'm like, God, send me some. I mean, I'm behind. I can't even buy a Pepsi Cola coming to church. And God says, save some money. And I said, God, send me some and I'll save it. But he knows I wouldn't because I hadn't saved none up to that point. And so I go, okay, God, I'm going to comply with you. And I told Teresa just yesterday, I told her, I said, I know you won't tell me how many $1,000 you've got in there. Got her money, some of her money out of one spot out on the bed. She's got to go get, and I'm going in there and I said, I'll check it to you.
Go outside. Don't go in there.
She had some of her money laid out on the bed. And I said, well, just go on and get you an envelope. But I was sitting on the couch and I was honestly thinking about that, Mac, how two broke, in love kids that didn't have a clue about God come together and God saved us. And God had a purpose for us, but we had to follow out that plan as we found it out. I mean, there's obedience to the Lord, you know, that will cause things to happen in our life, you know. But I was telling her, I was just thinking about it, and I thought, look, God, here she is. She's got thousands. I don't know how much she got in her. We got some money in savings, you know. I got money in my pocket, you know. But I can go back and tell you a time when God was telling me to save money, and I went for years, and I didn't. I mean, it was because I couldn't see saving money. I just thought, I can't do it. We got this, and something's always coming up, and blah, blah, blah. And so I thought, I've got to do something with this flesh man. I mean, the Bible says we are supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. It didn't say walk by stupidity. Confidence in God that he knows what he's doing. And so I get me a $10,000 credit card. $10,000. Got approved and everything. And I got $10,000 in my wallet. They sent me that $10,000 card. I put that card in my wallet. And I never swiped it, not one time. I told God, I said, I'm going to take this $10,000 that I've got, Lord, in my wallet, and I'm going to discipline this flesh man. And I've been down to where I didn't have the money to buy a cold drink, and I never swiped that card. I went down to where we didn't have no food, and I did not swipe that card. I was determined that if I was going to prosper, that I was going to have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Not by coats, not by food, not by the way I felt. And at that time, I could not see of my business running successfully without putting doors on credit. And then when I get paid for them, then pay for them. It's been about 10 years since I borrowed anything from any company. I've not charged not anything to a door company in over 10 years, probably over 10 years. And you know what? I sat there and I thought, thank God, Lord. I thought it could never happen, and I believed it could never happen. Therefore, I made no steps in believing you that it would happen. But God, thank God that I did, and I cut that credit card up, never used that credit card. When I got done with that credit card, I cut that credit card up, and I said, thank you, Lord, for that credit card. It helped me to get where you wanted me to be all the time, Lord. See, money will help you get where God wants you, where you can have abundance of it, an abundance of it. Just like we taught Travis. See, we spoil our kids if we're not careful. And some people think, a lot of my people thought that I was, you know, too tough on Travis, you know, when he was a kid. Certain things I didn't let him have. He didn't watch no cussing on my TV, period. No cussing on my TV. I'll blow that thing out the wall before I let it train my son how to be like the world. Now, if he wants to be like the world now, it's his fault. It ain't daddy's. He started playing that guitar, and I looked around there. I said, I love that praise and worship. I said, just that music. Well, look who's playing it. When he got up there and he got a phone, you know, wanted a phone, we're going to have him a phone because he's going to start driving to school. I bought him the phone and paid his first month back, and I told him, that's it. You get any more talk time, you earn your money. I've never paid his phone bill since he was 15 years old. Huh? 14 years old. I've not paid not one. He don't come to me, Daddy, I'm out of minutes. Well, good. Get a job. I'm not old telco. See, it seems like rough, don't it, Matt? And if you go by the most poor kid, no wonder what's wrong with him. No, if there's anything wrong with him, it's because he didn't man up. Now, I went yesterday and bought his kids some shoes, you know, yesterday. He didn't know nothing about it, you know, but it had nothing to do with he won't buy them. He's got the money to buy them. But you know, see, look, God is not looking for a bunch of babies that's been serving him 30 years. You know, we can take some stuff. We can take some correction. You know, but anyways, when Travis, he comes up, I've never paid not one phone bill for him since he was 14 years old. He paid it, and I give him opportunity to earn money. And then we got him down, and we told him, okay, you've made this much. And Teresa helped him to understand how much of that goes to Jesus, tithe. And then she said, son, and then she made him save a certain amount. And then you spend this amount. You tithe, you save, and then you spend. You don't not tithe, not save, and spend. You'll never have nothing. Today's 28 years old. He's done paid off. His wife owns her Tahoe, no payments. He done paid his trucks off. I mean, he done paid off. He paid off one house that I co-signed. I didn't even co-sign with this other one. He's 28 years old, and he gets his own stuff. Now, I'm not trying to boast Travis up. I'm making a scenario of how this kingdom and gospel really, really, really does work. Bought a guy a car. He come to work. He's driving. Somebody's bringing him to work. Called Travis. I said, hey, I said, did you go with me Saturday? Bought the guy a car. Worked a couple of days. Gets a good opportunity, $18 an hour. Decides he ain't going to work. And so then I done give him the title and all that. And so when I called him and told me, pay me $50 a week like he promised. You can't make me do nothing, blah, 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 blah. I got the title, blah, 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 blah. And so I thought, well, I need to text him. So I started texting all this stuff. Got it in writing. I'm smarter than the devil. So I got it in writing that he agreed to pay me $600. He agreed to work with me. And, you know, he agreed. And then he got COVID last Thursday. I said, what about the 2 weeks before that? Well, I got a doctor's excuse. I said, not 2 weeks before now. I'm not concerned about Thursday and Friday. I'm concerned about you told me you'd pay and you didn't. I said, you want to go and work somewhere else and better yourself? I got no problem with it. I said, but you're going to pay me for that car. I didn't give you that car. You don't own that car. Well, I've got the title in my name. I said, oh, yeah, you didn't give me enough evidence. I said, when I get done with my lawyer Monday, you will find out. I said, I'm going to help you get on your feet. I helped him off his feet, and I could help him on his feet. Now, Teresa, she can't understand that because I usually just give it to him. Well, I'm tired of training this generation to do anybody any way you want to and do them wrong and just get by with it. Bless God, God don't let me go steal from you and get by with it. Right? He don't let me lie to y'all, get by with it. I wanted to quit this church one time. I know we're going a little different direction, but we're good. I wanted to quit this church one time. So when you laying out and all that without having legitimacy, God will deal with you better because you can discourage your brothers and sisters. You can. You really can. You won't mean to, but you can. I wanted to quit one time, and the Lord, and I'm like, I'm quitting. I'm quitting. I'm quitting. And God told me, he said, what about Bubba? He's not here now. He said, what about Bubba? A lot of y'all wasn't here. He began to name all people that's going to church here. What about them? What about them? What about them? And I'm like, this has got to be the devil, man. They can get them another church. I mean, church is 13 churches in Bluntsville, man. I mean, surely Jesus don't. Is in some of them, surely. I thought, God, there's 13 churches. You know, they're not going to, like, you know. And he'd say, he wouldn't talk to me about it. He'd say, what about them? What about them? And then I started thinking about them, Mac. And I started thinking, oh, man, they're doing good, you know. I mean, if I do this, man, they're liable to backslide. I mean, what if they don't go back to church? You know, what if they don't find them a church? I go to having this is Holy Ghost, see. Here I am, 13 years later. I wouldn't even think about abandoning y'all. I'm going to lead y'all on the front line, man, where the bullets are flying. We're going to take ground for Jesus. We're not trying to just to maintain. We got to go into all the world and preach the gospel, hallelujah. How can you do that broke? How can you do it broke? You can't help us broke. You can't help us weak and sick. You can't help us if you're not flowing with the Holy Spirit. You got to flow with the Holy Spirit. Flow with the Word of God. Take the Word of God and say, I am what you say I am, God. I mean, used to everybody say, well, he's just a Weston. And I went to God. I said, that's not what your Bible says. Your Bible says I am a king and a priest unto God. Your Bible says I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I was a Weston and I got saved. Now my citizenship is not of this world. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. My life don't disconsist of my earthly family or anything in that nature. See, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. But at the same time, the kingdom blesses you. The kingdom will enrich you. The kingdom will empower you. Granny, my granny. I call her my grandmother. She's not preaching.
I ain't had a cold in 2 years.
I said, you ain't supposed to. By his stripes we are healed. No plague will come to our dwelling, right? We're supposed to be living in divine health. Hallelujah. Well, son, so I don't care about all that. Listen, I'm not in this reasoning why people do get and gone and done and got. I'm not into all that. I'm into the Bible. I'm into Jesus. I'm into the Word, the truth. Facts change. Evidence changes. But the truth remains the same. The Bible remains the same. The Spirit of God remains the same. We are destined for greatness. We are destined to have a good marriage. I mean, I don't care. Teresa can't even stop a good marriage in my life. I mean, she goes out one time, leaving.
I'm leaving.
Travis, are you going to go after Mom? I ain't going at her. Let her go. I got peace like a river. Peace like a river. Didn't Jesus say he is the Prince of Peace? Didn't he say, my peace I give to you, not as the world? Listen, I done been on both sides of this camp, buddy. When she would leave, I would have no peace. I would have turmoil and torture. Turmoil and torture. She's going to go run back to that guy, and she's going to go run to that guy, and by torture, just torture, and that guy's not going to be good to Travis, and blah, blah, just torture, Johnny. It was torture. And then this time I'm born again. I done been free. Didn't Teresa teach us this morning that we've been freed? The truth has freed us and sanctified us, set us apart. Sanctify means to be set apart. See, the Word sets us, the Spirit of God, Jesus, sets us apart from the spirit of this world. We're not conformed anymore to fear and bondage and all of that jealousy and all of that garbage. We can yield to it. Yes, we can. And she leaves. Yeah, you know, I don't even go to get her a motel. She drives all the way to Arab. Get her a motel, Mac. There was not one empty room in Arab. She's pregnant. You know how pregnant women.
My back. My back.
I told her one time when she's pregnant with Travis, I told her, I said, don't lift, tilt forward. Man, she was, woo. I thought if she tilts forward a little bit, boom, she's gone. She was front heavy, Mac. She goes out of there, and I sit there, glory to God. Now, my mind's saying she's going to run into somebody up there. My mind's saying all, but all in here, I'm like, Jesus is my source. Glory to God, I will not be moved. I shall not be. We sang that in church, but do we really do it when things are not going good? It's not just in church where the victory's at. The victory, I mean, just like what's going on in our nation. You see what's going on in the natural. That shows you how this spiritual war really is. The things in the natural parallel with the spirit realm. Hallelujah. That's how come it looks like the powers of darkness are more powerful than the powers of light. and true. Looks like. Did you hear what I said? It looks like. It looks like to us, it looked like to me, our marriage would never be good at times. And today ain't a whole lot I'd change other than preaching. I mean, just a few things about her. I mean, you know what God did? God changed my heart so in a way to where I would not be happy unless she was happy. Even if it meant turning her loose to somebody else. I know that sounds stupid, and it did to me at that time. I thought, no, I can't think that. If I'm not making her happy, then I don't want to keep her in bondage. But if, you know, if something else will make her, see what that is, you've been set free to where you are willing to let someone go because you love them. You're willing to hurt because you love them. You're willing to be lonely because you love them. But see, now selfish says, no. I'm going to kill anybody that tries to smack her on the lips. Here she goes. Hit it out, Travis. You going after her? I said, I'm not going after her. She'll be back, son. She'll be back. See, my confidence wasn't in her choice. She's upset right now. She might not ever come back. My confidence is in the one I gave her to a long time ago. Don't he say, casting all your care over on the Lord, for he cares for you? Don't we give him our troubles and expect him to work them out? Giving things to God, we call it. God, we give you this. We give you this. And then we go right down and worry about it. We ain't give him nothing. Just like I'm walking. I mean, honestly, I didn't have a revelation, but it was real, real good. I love doing that illustration. Because I'm like, I don't trust her, but I trust God. And I'm walking across here, man, and I'm thinking, I know that wall's there. Now I done made a commitment not to open my eyes. But I know that wall's there. And I know about how far I've walked. And because she ain't told me to stop, I'm thinking she ain't paying attention. She's preaching to them and gonna let me walk in and smash my nose in that block wall. And everybody here is watching her, watching me. That was my thoughts, Mac. No, she's watching y'all, and I'm thinking she's having me walk forward and ain't paying no attention. And I know I done get close to that wall now. And so I reach my arm out, and then she gets on to me. No. And then I told her, I said, well, I didn't trust you. Did you see I didn't trust her? You seen me reach out for that wall. I was serious. Y'all wasn't the one going to get a busted nose. I was. That's how easy it is for us not to trust God when it looks like something's not going to happen. Really, that's really how easy it is. Because really trusting God, you're blind. You got your eyes shut like I have. Pretty much. Your eyes ain't shut. But what you're believing for, you can't see it. But you know, because the Word says that He'll manifest it. So we got to keep our eyes shut, so to speak. See, so here I am sitting there, you know, every motel room was full. And guess what? Her back hurt because she's pregnant. That bed in her own house probably began to look pretty good. Didn't Jesus say, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, burdened down, and I'll give you rest? He said, but he didn't. He said, take my yoke on you. Learn of me. Learn how I do things. Learn how I react to things. Go back and look at how I reacted to things. He said, take my yoke upon you My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. See, any time that we go to taking yokes of oppression, fear, all of that, it's heavy. It's not light. But the way of God in the mind seems like a hard way, but it's the way to get free. It's the way to get free. Well, it wasn't but just 30 minutes or so, I heard the car pull back up. I told Travis, I said, I told you you should be back.
She comes back in. Okay, right now, all the motels are full. I don't know what all she was doing. I'm
like, good God, couldn't she just found a room? It was good till she got back. And here we are all these years later, going on 36 years of marriage. Because neither one of us will yield anything contrary to what the Word says in our marriage. We just won't do it. The Word of God is all the evidence we need to know that we will grow old together. And I told her the other day, she's talking about people having to, Travis, you know, I can't imagine having to go live with my son and taking care of me at 90. I mean, the boy don't even take care of his. Beth has to raise all of them. Poor Beth would be in for it. And so I told Teresa, getting in, I said, yep. I said, good thing we ain't going to have to depend on that. I said, because I'll still be able to spank you at 120.
You ain't never be able to spank me young.
I told her, I said, all right, I could spank you. I just don't want to have to hurt you. See, my thinking is I'm never going to be feeble and weak. Now, y'all young folk, you ain't even crossing your mind yet. Sweetheart, time's going by. Bless God, time goes by. Things changes, hallelujah. And while you're young, get that mind made up that you ain't going to get old at 50. Don't let your mind ever take you down a path that you can't have a good life, bless God, because of your circumstances in Bluntsville. A rich man told me not to open a business down here in Bluntsville because it wouldn't ever go anywhere and do nothing. But I was fasting and seeking the Lord, and the Lord spoke to me and said, rent a building in Bluntsville, praise God, when I started my business. And I told my brother about that, and that me and him were partners. He said, well, he's right. Talked about that guy. He's right. You know, there's no money down there. And I mean, that don't make no sense, you know. There's no flow down there. And I waited till he got done, and I said, but the Spirit of God said. I said, who's right, somebody that's got money without God or God? So the one that was telling us this, it was in the world, not saved. How many knows the Bible says, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly? Don't take counsel. Somebody that's quit on the church and you know, quit on ministry. Somebody that evangelist, I'm not even interested in them. I won't even give them the time of day to come here and preach if they're not connected to a church, and go to church when you ain't preaching. You ain't coming here. That might seem hard to you, but I don't want to take a whole month to tear down a bunch of junk that somebody feeds you in 15 minutes. I don't listen to every voice into my life. People start bragging on that, oh, I just love the church. God told me to come there. I'm like, God, why don't you just shut up and come to church? And every time somebody tells me that, they go on the first week and a half. Just go to church. Just be quiet. You don't have to convince us. Good God, man. I mean, we're not going to lay down the floor and praise God for somebody coming to church. We've been here 20 years. We're not over it. We're looking for some fireworks now. We're looking for some fireworks. We're looking for somebody on the praise team. We're looking for somebody, praise God, to come when it's raining. The sun's shining out there. You got up feeling good in Jesus this morning. We're glad to see you. Let's see what happens Wednesday. It's 3 days till then. You're probably going to need resurrected by Wednesday morning where you can just make it to church. Hallelujah. How do you know all that? Because I've been a Christian for 20-something years, man. done been there, done that, done laid out of church, done quit God, done backslid, done went back into drugs. I mean, the only thing I did is go whip some people. I should have done it while I was backslid. Just didn't think about it. I was getting so miserable. Right? Backsliding's miserable, man. I'm out there in my shed. This has been years and years ago. God, I got to quit. Let's get late. We got praise team practice tonight. You know, I dread that. I mean, it's just praise team practice, right? I mean, I started dreading it right after I announced it. Before I left the stage, I'm like, what'd you start that for? Well, I go home on Sunday, Mac. Get my little tummy full like a little puppy. Wrap up like a burrito in my recliner. Teresa, notice I said Teresa. She controls our living room now. The media in there is hers. I don't care what it is. I can have that remote over her. She'll be like,
what are you doing with that?
I'm like, well, last time I had any account, the receipt in there said I paid for it. She's serious. And I look at her and she says,
I'm serious now. Now I'm serious. I'm tired of watching that.
Well, I get tired of watching all that garbage you watch there, man. I mean, you forced me to do it. No wonder I wrap up like a burrito. Cover my eyes up and ears and go to sleep. Hallelujah. So the practice tonight's messing up my comfort zone. Right? Lord, I can't sleep till 4 now. Got to be there at 5, and I don't want to go there when I just wake up because I'm kind of like Teresa. Got to be in the right spirit when I get here, Mac. So I need to set my clock now for 3:30 so I'm good, awake, and not sleepy and groggy when I get here for practice. Because if I get here in the flesh, ain't none of y'all playing right. Right? Have you ever noticed a few in the flesh, nobody sings good? Man, we sound good. Do you hear us? I mean, I've been in the flesh before and looked up money. What's wrong with him? Monty over there, ooh, he's in the presence of the Lord. He's just rocking now. You didn't know all this could take place in one service, did you? And here I am up here, oh, we're ambassadors for Jesus. But praise God, I'm telling you, praise team practice, I hate it. Come on, somebody. We're warriors. Some of you want to be on the praise team, but you're scared to come because you want to rest this evening. Nah, Lord, I would, but Lord, you know, I've been doing this for years now, right after church, and Sunday's my off evening. Don't want to break that secret sacred cow, right? Just help tell that flesh, shut up. I thought, well, I know what I'll do. I'll find me somebody that can play the bass, and I'll be plumb out of that, and they can have practice all the time if they want to. Some Sunday's off. I believe Jesus for that. I believe Jesus for no hardship. See, listen, don't run from the hardship that comes into your life like God's done abandoned you and God can't do it. God's using hardship to get us and mold us and make us into the thing that he's already anointed us to be and to be able to do the things. Listen, God told me one time, I'm going to try to close with this. I'm going to the jails, and these people are, they're you know, people in jail, the bullpens, every Sunday morning is full, Johnny. It's full every time I go, you know. And they're not in there from being, don't go to Sunday school Sunday morning. They're not in, they're in there, you know, and everything. And I'm almost at the jail, but this was a revelation to me, too, because you know, you sacrifice a lot if you're going to serve the Lord and go with him. And you will have some sacrificial life. You don't have to be in ministry. You will. And so the Lord, I said, what do I tell them today, Lord? What's on your heart, Lord, to tell these people, Lord? Lord, help me to tune in, God, so that I hear you, so that when I speak, Lord, it'll be words that you're speaking to me, Lord, and that I'll never see them in this jail again, Lord, because whom you set free is free. And so, the Lord, that morning, I heard it in here, just as like somebody was in the truck. He said, it takes a man to serve me. He said, it takes a real man, a real woman to serve me. He said, anybody, it's easy not to serve me. He said, but it takes somebody that has backbone, that has a mind made up, and to abide in my power. You know, and I understood that because I thought, I could be going home all the way down Black County. Teresa's getting a nap. I'm not getting no nap no more. And then I'm going to have to leave here and go straight home and take a shower and come back to church on Sunday night. And I'm thinking, I'm not getting to spend time with my family and my son on Sunday. And he was a little bitty tot. You know, that was an every Sunday thing. I started having to drive my own vehicle, and I felt lonely driving to church without my wife and son. But I had to lay my emotions down. Look, they ain't lost no weight. Bless God, the Lord taught me a lot and trained me in